Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist here on Real Liberty Media. I'm going to invite you at this time of year, fall, my favorite season, kind of kicks off what I know is going to be like 6 to 9 months of cooler weather, some awesome storms, maybe thunderstorms, some freezing rain, snow. Come along with me and catch up on some shows over at Real Liberty Media. You can listen to Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony. He's going to arm you for some counter propaganda tactics. Listen to the Dork Table, all kinds of interesting conversations going on there. You can also catch It's All Connected. Grimner and Circle will kind of connect all the dots for you, no matter what the subject. They're going to connect it up for you. And Free Your Mind is a great show. Talks about liberty and freedom. Those two, Grimner and Moose Girl, have a great show. Some great archives there. Listen to them and kind of become familiar with being totally free. Ponder Gander has some great topics. He's a deep thinker with a lot of good subject matter. You can catch me, the Redneck Dentist. And we also have two musical shows you can listen to. The Sunday Blues, which are archived, and the Top 10 Countdown, which has top 10 songs from years past with a little bit of history or behind-the-scenes story on each one. So join me, the Redneck Dentist, over on Real Liberty Media, catching up on some of these archived podcasts. It's a great time of year to do it. Hey, this is Dr. Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Hope you all are staying safe and dry. It's been a crazy week here. We got a ton of rain this week. I'm not kidding, a ton. Hi, Beth and everybody in the chat room. Hey, by the way, before I get into that rain a little bit, I did want to talk about Grimner a bit. Seemed like I've seen him more in the chat this week, which has been kind of cool. Hope everything's going great for him. And for those who don't know, who are listening to the podcast and not really familiar with Real Liberty Media, you should check out the site for sure. Grimner's the owner of Real Liberty Media, as far as I know, and he's the one who makes this stuff happen. So come on over, check out the site, get in the chat room, chat with people there. A lot of very smart, well-informed people in the chat room. And it's a good place to hang out. But anyway, hope Grimner's doing great. So it's fun. It's fun to see him in there, man. He was kind of hit and miss for a long time. Of course, I don't know, maybe I was just missing him in the chat room before, like not on at the same time he was, but it seems like he'd been on a little more this week than previous weeks. That's cool. Glad to see it. Okay, so I was talking about the rain. I'm not kidding. We got a ton of rain this week, just in the last 3 or 4 days. Today actually hasn't even rained yet, I don't think. But so Thursday and Friday, we got over 6 inches of rain, which is crazy, like a crazy amount of rain. And about 20 miles from here, maybe 25 miles from here, one area got over 9 inches of rain in the same 2 days. Hang on one sec. Okay, so yeah, all that rain is running off like crazy. Oh yeah, I see it's going to snow in Wisconsin. That's great. The Packers are playing the Seahawks, and Rodgers will be back. Hey, it was kind of interesting last week too, by the way. You know, after I talked about what hypocrisy it was for Fox Sports to be covering Veterans Day, honoring the veterans, and then they beat up on Aaron Rodgers for not taking the vaccine and how selfish that was and everything. And I pointed out that hypocrisy, and then I noticed a number of people in other media sources that I follow, not mainstream, talked about the same thing, which I thought was pretty awesome, that at least people were kind of calling these talking heads out on stuff like that. It's really pretty irritating, for sure. Let's see. Oh, Wisconsin won today, the football team. That was awesome. They destroyed Northwestern. And then Baylor, I don't know if you guys saw this, Baylor upset undefeated Oklahoma. That was crazy. And the things I'm doing for fun, I had this thought about what I'm not going to be doing for fun, but I'm still playing EVE Online. Great game. I picked up a flight simulator this week. I'm going to tell you why I did that. One, it's kind of would be fun to fly a flight simulator. And number two, I think I mentioned before, I watched this guy's videos. He's called the Missionary Bush Pilot, if you're interested. And he flies in Papua New Guinea. And I don't know how in the heck I ran into this guy's podcast, but it's kind of funny because, I think most people would think this is really boring after a couple episodes. He does keep them pretty short, like around, I don't know, between 20 and 30 minutes. Some people say that's not a short video, but I think it's kind of short. And he just, you know, will fly from one bush pilot location to another and usually delivering goods and picking up goods or delivering people or picking up people and taking them somewhere else. But like I said, like, he does the same thing all the time. I mean, Papua New Guinea isn't that big. And so he flies into these places, kind of the same airports all the time, or air strips, I should say. And anyway, I've been watching him for a few weeks, and mainly because it's very relaxing for me to just watch him fly. He talks about stuff during the flight, you know, and it's not the whole flight. I mean, he obviously edits the video, edits out long stretches of quiet time. It's one sec, I gotta... had to wet my whistle again. He doesn't... I forgot what I was saying. Well, basically, the flights are shortened because he doesn't put in these long... that's what I was going to say. He mostly flies by himself, like he doesn't have a co-pilot. It's just a little Kodiak airplane. It probably seats 8 or 10 people, I don't know, something like that, and has a big cargo hold underneath. It's a single-prop, turboprop plane, I think. But anyway, the reason that I got the flight simulator is because you can fly the same courses that this guy flies. And I thought, you know, that would be pretty fun to actually, you know, go see these airports on a flight sim. And the flight simulator I'm using, of course, is not Microsoft. It's called X-Plane. And if any of you are interested... X-Plane has, it's a free download, and you can fly, I think under the free version, you get to fly for 15 minutes around Seattle Airport, and then, you know, if you find it interesting, you can pay for the game and for the simulator and fly wherever you want. I think almost every country in the world you could pick for your, you know, base airports. And anyway, it's been kind of fun. I don't have like a flight joystick or a flight, you know, control. I just use, like, you can just use keypad, or you can use like a gamepad or something like that. But anyway, so that's what I'm doing for fun. And of course, Tuesday I'm having cataract surgery on my left eye. So I had to go get a COVID test today, I don't know, PCR test, and I guess they'll let me know in the next 3 days so I find out if I can actually go have the surgery or not. So anyway, that's on the agenda. Oh, I must not have drank enough today. I'm like critically thirsty. Okay, so What are we going to talk about today? You guys put such great stuff in the chat. Unfortunately, I can't like actually go listen or watch the stuff while I'm doing the show. I guess I could. I could just pipe it right over the show. That'd be funny. Sit back and listen while we're doing the show. Be interesting. Like I said last week, I'm using new software. It's kind of funny. I thought I was going to... I actually did kind of have a little tiny bit of panic because, you know, I kind of start preparing about an hour before the show, kind of make sure everything's working. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm using this new software. And for a second, I was thinking I forgot how to use it. But everything just fired up so easy. And... It's just nice and fun and doesn't freak me out at all anymore. Like it did in the beginning, my fight with Jack. That's going to be like a topic forever, I think. No, I'll probably forget about it eventually, unless it quits working. Then I'll, you know, be struggling with that again. Well, the shed... Oh, hey, I do want to tell you guys one thing. I have two radishes here. I'm just going to be completely disconnected today, I guess. So, I'm going to put a picture of these two radishes, which I better make a note. Pick of radishes. On Imgur, or Inger, whatever that site is called. Because I want to show you what happens when you don't harvest all your vegetables when you're supposed to, and they don't go to seed, which is really interesting. I'm not kidding when I say these two radishes, they're just regular red radishes. They're about the size of a baseball. And it is, I am not kidding about that. And that's why I'm going to put the picture up so you could actually see it. I actually put a 16-ounce coffee cup in the picture so you have a frame of reference. And what really caught my eye about these two radishes, I mean, we pulled them about a week ago, just clearing out the garden of anything that was left. We have a ton of acorn squash and, you know, just winter stuff. Sorry, got a cough. Okay. Anyway, we pulled them about a week ago and set them on a table, and we didn't cut the leaves off, so they've just been sitting on this table for a week, and I look at them, and they're literally like the plant is still growing. I don't know if the radish is or not, probably, but the actual leaves of the plant are kind of standing up, facing the sky. You know, they didn't wilt, like they're not going to die, is what I'm saying. But these are pretty impressive-sized radishes. I'm tempted to see what they taste like just for the heck of it, but I don't want to bite into it just yet. Maybe this evening. We're going to have a chef salad for dinner. And some chicken wings grilled, so it'll be a good... I don't know why we're having chef salad, just sounded good. So, oh, and I have company today. Grandkids are over. One of the grandkids is over, and my son and daughter-in-law. They're hanging out. He's fixing the... my son is finishing the shed, getting the loft area done. I guess it's finished. He said he had one more strip to put in and that would be done. So that project is almost finished. We just have to wire in the electrical fixtures and that'll be cool. I'll be all done, which is perfect because it's going to start getting cold. And of course, we needed that built to keep the pump warm, the well pump, so it didn't freeze up and our water didn't quit flowing. All right. So, what else? Nope, that's about it for the kind of local and personal stuff. Now let's get into the stories of the week that caught my attention anyway. And what's really funny, I'm gonna talk about the death of science a little bit today. And I got to tell you guys something funny, and my wife would be really embarrassed, I think, if I brought this up, unless I'm wrong about it, but I'm 100% sure I'm not wrong. So, we have, our kids go out and collect rocks, like nice looking rocks, or they go, mining different gems, let's say. And they bring cool looking rocks back here, and we put them around the fountain area or in the landscaping or whatever. And my wife picked up this one rock and she goes, "Look at this. This looks really, really different." She said, "I thought it was," she said, "I thought it was petrified wood." And I said, "It is petrified wood." And she goes, "No, it isn't." She goes, "Petrified wood floats." And I said, "No, it doesn't." I said, "Petrified wood is mineral, and it doesn't float." And she insisted that petrified wood floated. So I don't know. I guess we're going to have to actually do a scientific test to see if petrified wood floats or not. But it kind of reminds me of that witch segment I had on here from Monty Python in Search of the Holy Grail a few weeks ago, because I'm 100% sure that petrified wood doesn't float. But anyway, the death of science, we've seen it in the last couple years, like the complete, lack of like testing and data to support, certain actions that have been taken and certain procedures that have been put in place, and just overall, the scientific community has failed the entire world, which is really sad. But beyond just like politics taking over science, I actually found a couple articles that this week that are going to point to and lead to more disastrous like results of science in the future, which I guess, maybe it's important and maybe it isn't important. I don't know. I know that as human beings, we learn by doing. It's not everybody who learns because somebody else did something and then reports to you what they did, or you read about something that somebody else did and that's how you learn. A lot of us use the hands-on approach. I think I'm one of those people that kind of does a little bit of both. Like, I want to try something to see if I can solve the problem, whatever the problem is, if it's a project I'm working on or if it's something that has to be fixed. I mean, hell, I'm one of those people that will take something apart just to see how it comes apart and then see if I can put it back together and it can and it, see if it'll still work. But I mean, the scientific community, I'm using a little air quote there, the scientific community actually depends on people to do research, to gather data, and to produce reports. And then the rest of the scientific community is supposed to, kind of verify that information by doing similar or the same experiments and seeing if they get the same results. Now, none of that stuff happened with this whole pandemic thing. And I think we're finding, and as I've said before, we're going to find in the long run, when actual research is done on everything that has transpired in the past 24 months, God, has it been longer than that? No, I guess it's been about 24 months. In November of 19 is when October, it's probably September, October, November of 19 is when this all started happening in China. So it's been like 24 months, but we're going to find out, if we actually do research on what has transpired in the past 2 years, we're going to see that so many things were either overlooked or just flat out faked. I mean, Pfizer has admitted that they,
falsified results or hid results so that their, you know, jab juice looked better than it actually is. I think Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, they all kind of manipulated data to get the final result, which was like approval to use their juice and for the governments of the world to buy their juice to inject it into human beings. And I think what we'll see in the long run, if and only if we actually get people to objectively research and collect data, and that data is accurate, because like I have a story in the stack today that Pennsylvania won't even release their data on COVID deaths. And you know, and why? If it's data, you can't be afraid of data. I mean, data is just data. That's the beauty of what science used to be, is that you could have some hypothesis in your mind. You could have some idea of what you wanted to test in your mind. And you might even have the idea of what you would like the results of that research to look like. But once you run the actual experiments to test whatever it is you're studying, the data doesn't lie by itself. It's data. It's physically the result of whatever it is you're doing. People lie, and that's what's happened a lot in the past 24 months. But data doesn't lie. So I think once we actually have objective researchers collecting real data and producing results, we're going to see that a lot of this, I mean, we all know it's basically been a psyop. We all know it's basically been, you know, a process to lock down the entire world, to kind of, I guess, you know, imprison the entire world. Because that's what it feels like, definitely. I mean, yeah, you know, people are not able to travel, people are not able to shop, people are not able to participate in society, people, and, you know, for a period of time, religions were on lockdown, so you couldn't practice religion, you couldn't socialize with people, like normal people. And I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, this pandemic is going to continue until we kind of get back to normal and go through that herd immunity that is going to have to take place naturally. Hell, another story I have today is how two of the three main jab juices aren't even effective after 6 months. They're less than 50% effective. Why would you continue to promote something? And of course, you know, in the beginning, the data that the companies released showed that these juices were 95% effective, 82% effective, you know, 70% effective. But what we find out is they're not. They weren't, ever. Not even in the beginning, not even before the Delta variant. They aren't effective, like less than 50%. Why would you have some treatment that's less than 50% effective? I mean, to prevent deaths of what proportion? I think we're probably still at what, half, was it? Oh, I forget how many people have died. Is it 500,000 in the entire world? Half a million people, or was it 500 million? I don't know. I can't remember right off the top of my head. It's a minuscule number of people, and I'm not I'm not trying to lessen the deaths of those people. It sucks that people have died from COVID-19, if it exists. But my point is, we have a treatment that was rushed through, pushed through by both political parties. I'm not pointing out one or the other. They all were involved, and that's only in this country, the United States. I mean, hell, there was, you know, every country in the world kind of got on board with these jab juices that now we're finding out after 6 months are less than 50% effective. Why would we continue to promote this thing? And why would we be promoting booster shots of something that's less than 50% effective? We're going to have to go through the herd immunity naturally. That's what's going to have to happen. That's what's going to bring this supposed pandemic to a stop. Sad thing is, like everybody, you know, you have so many people on board with the mandates because they're not following true science, they're following the religion of science. You know, like what Fauci says, or what the NIH or CDC says, or what some government official says. And that's not real science. I mean, real science right now would say, hey, this isn't working. We got to do something else. This is less than 50% effective. We need to do something else. But that's not what's happening. In fact, you're going to see on December 1st, there's going to be a debate. This is an interesting debate. I call this the dog and pony show of Dr. Anthony Fauci. So let me find this. Where did I put this? Oh, I didn't even get to the point. I didn't even get to the point I was trying to make. Okay, so let me read this part first. Okay, I said not that science was no longer science, but now even less. American University's commitment to merit as the basis for hiring and tenure continues to erode as they increasingly demand adherence to progressive ideology. The sciences are far from immune to this trend. As reported by Manhattan Institute fellow Heather MacDonald, and it's Heather MacDonald, three names, in City Journal earlier this month, University of Texas astronomer John Cormandy withdrew an article from the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences after a draft drew sharp criticism for threatening the conduct of inclusive science. His book on the same topic has been placed on indefinite hold. Cormandy's fully peer-reviewed work describes a sophisticated model he developed to reduce the role of individual subjectivity in scientific hiring and tenure decisions by predicting scientists' long-term research impact from early publications. Though he didn't intend for his model to replace a holistic approach to hiring or granting tenure, as MacDonald explains, his offense was to focus on the merit of the candidate's work rather than their race or gender. No, let's not do that. Cormandy's experience is becoming typical. Last month, the American Geophysical Union, the world's largest society devoted to the study of Earth and space, declined to name a winner of its most prestigious award solely because all of the rigorously vetted final nominees were white men. This trend, which is most pervasive in the humanities, includes Europe. For example, Italian physicist Alessandro Strumia was fired from Europe's Particle Physics Consortium, CERN, for observing that, because of inclusion efforts, women were being hired with thinner research records than those of men. Even a visiting dance professor at Oberlin College alleges that she lost out on a permanent position after being told, "We just can't We can't just hire another white woman from the Midwest with a husband. It's funny, not funny, because I understand, you know, the idea of, you know, having equal representation from all walks of life. I get that. But at the expense of the experience that those people should have, all of those people, anybody who's entering these, you know, particular professions that require you to be accurate, you know, and have research results to support, you know, your past experiences. I think that, you know, more and more people, minorities of whatever kind, you know, just whichever minority you want to pick, they're entering into the scientific fields more, which means eventually, you know, they will have the experience to get into these positions and receive these awards and become tenured and, you know, make great contributions to the scientific community or, you know, community in general. But just to hire people because, or to not hire somebody because you need to hire some other minority in their place, and you accept people with far less experience, documented experience, that's kind of scary. Not that it matters now, because apparently we're kind of ignoring science, period, except for the religion of science. Okay, so I wanted to get through that, and then where was I headed? Oh, gosh, you know, shouldn't take detours like that. I'll get to it. Oh, I know. I was talking about Dr. Fauci's dog and pony show. Okay, so let's find that. Where is that in the stack here? Oh, I did want to talk about... Nope, I better stick with what I was saying. Where are we at? Where are you, Dr. Fauci? The fraud Fauci. Oh, my God. Maybe I don't have it. That'd be awesome. Okay, well, let me just tell you this. So Dr. Fauci and the NIH are going to have... There's apparently going to be a debate in... Oh, no, here it is. I found it. Sorry. A top infectious disease... So, you know, I read this story. No, I saw the headline of this story, and I go, oh, that's kind of cool. I'm going to go check this out. And so I go read the story, and immediately I think, this is complete BS. This is not what it says it is on the surface. And if everybody can't see that, which I'm sure everybody who listens to my show or hangs out at Real Liberty Media, hangs out in the chat room, you guys would all see this right off the bat. So here's the story. A top infectious disease doctor has raised alarm about COVID-19 vaccine mandates, despite top federal officials recommending them for businesses, schools, and other institutions. Dr. Matthew Mamoli, who runs a clinical studies unit where? Within the National Institute of Health's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, headed by Dr. Anthony Fauci, is scheduled to argue against COVID-19 vaccine mandates during a December 1 seminar hosted by the agency, according to David Wendler, a senior NIH bioethicist who is planning the seminar. And so, like, at first I was thinking, well, that's kind of cool. Somebody in the NIH, in the CDC, is actually going, you know, is actually bucking the system. Like, somebody in the federal government is actually standing up and saying, hey, these mandates aren't that great of an idea, and here's why. And they're going to have a debate about it. But that's not what's happening at all. Number one, this person has... yeah, this person has everything to lose by going public with this kind of statement, because I'm sure their employment, being a federal employee, their employment depends on them following in lockstep with, you know, Fauci, because this person is obviously in Fauci's department. So I can imagine what's going to happen. You know, is Fauci's going to argue for these mandates, and this person is going to put up some kind of a freaking ridiculous argument against the mandates, like why they're not good. What I'd really like to see is for Fauci to actually face people who are not part of his department, but would he do that? Probably not. I mean, he hasn't done it so far. He won't actually debate people who are as intellectual as he is, as knowledgeable as he is, and actually rely on real science to make their arguments. So this little debate, which is coming up on December 1st, is going to be a dog and pony show. I can guarantee it. Like, I kind of was thinking, okay, I guess the administration kind of, maybe had some issues, because there was a lot of kind of negative press when they found out that Fauci was putting dogs in these kind of head cages and letting sand fleas eat them alive, even though I guess there was some kind of sedation done. And whatever reason that's what set people off. I mean, maybe, thank God, it's dogs that did it, because everybody, I think a lot of people have special feeling for dogs, you know, man's best friend and all that. It's just kind of funny that, you know, people don't have the same reaction to people being sacrificed, being locked in cages and fed this jab juice because Fauci says so. I mean, that doesn't seem to bother most people, but apparently when you sedate a dog and then put their head in a cage and turn sand fleas loose on them so you can see whatever he's looking for in that experiment, God only knows. I didn't look into it that closely. Not really into animal cruelty. And yeah, I know, I was a science, I know a lot of animals were sacrificed so that I could, you know, get my education. It sucks. But yeah, I guess that was the tipping point. So my point is, so maybe because the administration was getting a lot of, like, negative feedback finally about Fauci, and it was something that they couldn't defend, like, you know, hey, you got to get this jab. It wasn't like, oh, hey, Fauci says you need to get this jab. Fauci says this isn't gain-of-function research. Fauci says we didn't spend money promoting gain-of-function research. Fauci says, well, we didn't spend money during the period when we weren't allowed to be studying gain-of-function research, when actually, you know, all of those things they were actually doing. Well, whether it was banned or not. No, it wasn't any of that stuff that that caused the administration to do something, and this, by something I mean having this little dog and pony show where they will have this person from the NIH who thinks that we shouldn't be mandating vaccines. You know, and they'll have Fauci up there talking about why we should, you know, and they'll parade him out as some kind of a hero because he'll make whatever wonderful statements that they want him to make, and everybody will be happy, supposedly. Man, I hope I live long enough to see what ends up here. Like, I really hope Fauci eventually gets charged with something, because he is dirty. And apparently he's evil, too, because, you know, whatever. Locking dogs' heads in cages and having them eaten alive is pretty sickening, I think. But not the most sickening thing he's done, that's for sure. I'm positive about that. What was the other thing? He did something else that had everybody up in arms. It wasn't just dogs. It was some other... Oh, boy. Oh. That freaked me out. My screens just went black. It's because my, you know, screensaver was coming on. I thought we lost the show there for a minute. Anyway, yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what comes out of that little, my term, dog and pony show for sure. And where to next? Oh, inflation. Man. So here's what really caught my attention about inflation. Like, everybody is sensing inflation right now. And the reason is because the rate of inflation is the highest it's been in 31 years. Now, you know, I guess because I have a degree in science, I always look for these kind of certain terms. And rate means, of course, the speed at which inflation has grown. And that's the problem. I liken it to boiling a frog. You know, if you drop a frog in boiling water, they react violently. Now, I've never done this, but I'm sure Fauci has. We can ask him. But if you put a frog in a pan of room temperature water and slowly increase the temperature, they don't react so violently, I'm told. I really don't know. But that's kind of what's happened with inflation at this point. And that is that the rate of increase is so much faster than it has been for 31 years that people are really noticing the difference. And what a great time for all of these things to come to fruition at the same time. Like right during the holidays, we're going to have... you know, continued increases, not only right before the holidays, but right before winter time in, well, most of the United States anyway. Well, all of the United States, but very cold temperatures coming. And, you know, a lot of households are dependent on fossil fuel in one way or another to heat their homes. Let's say if you heat your home with electricity, but the electricity is coming from a coal-fired power plant, guess what? It's fossil fuel. Even though you think you're using electricity to heat your home, it's actually coming from fossil fuel. I lived in Pennsylvania for a few years. I had a coal stove to heat the house. It was awesome. It was kind of one of the best, I mean, by far, I thought one of the best heating mechanisms I'd ever been exposed to. You know, I grew up in the West. We don't really have coal out here. Nobody that I know or have ever heard of has a coal stove out here. Hell, I used to order up coal by the truckload and have them, you know, they'd dump it in this little kind of hopper system so that I'd just, you know, take coal out of the front, put it in a bucket and take it in, feed it into the stove, man, and that stuff. That was anthracite coal, too. Anthracite coal is, it almost looks like obsidian. It's almost clear. It's black, but it's almost clear. It's very shiny. Whereas the other kind of coal, I think it's called bismuth, looks like briquettes, kind of. You know, charcoal briquettes. Anthracite coal is this beautiful, shiny rock that you think is not going to burn. Like, you really, you know, coming from the West where we burn wood and stuff, I was thinking there's no way in hell that stuff is going to burn. I thought they brought me the wrong stuff the first time they delivered coal. But you can... But anyway, my point is, so we have this dramatic increase in inflation. Fuel prices are going up. You know, here in Oregon and Washington, they're trying to actually completely eliminate natural gas as a way to heat your homes because it's a, I guess, considered a fossil fuel. You know, the current administration has shut down one pipeline and they're thinking about shutting down another one, even though Biden, oh my God, this guy, I don't know if he's an idiot, if he's senile, if he's drugged up. I'm not 100% sure, or maybe all of those things are happening because this dumbass closed a pipeline and then, you know, just a couple months later, literally a few months later, he can't figure out why gas prices are so high. And he actually is, he's actually going to assign a committee. He's taken somebody, some people from the economic committee to figure out how he can lower energy costs. I mean, seriously. Oh, you know, and along with that, the current administration said, as part of their argument for passing the recent ridiculous spending money, that it would actually decrease inflation, that it would actually help to decrease inflation, which that's exactly opposite of what it's going to do. And you can't tell me that, you know, the Democrats, the people, progressives, whatever you want to call them, who are behind pushing this agenda through, you can't tell me that they have never kind of studied inflation and seen that printing more money literally increases inflation. But somehow, I mean, somehow we have become so stupid that they just buy whatever it is those people tell them. So if Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, you know, this spending bill will actually, you know, slow down the surge of inflation, and people just like, oh, yay, Nancy Pelosi said we're going to slow down inflation with by passing this spending bill. You know, luckily, some of us are old enough to remember when she said, you know, during the Obama administration, this was the most ridiculous thing I think I ever heard, before they passed that health care debacle, she said, well, we have to pass it to see what's in it. It's that kind of stuff, man. And I see, and Biden is a product of that. He's never done anything in his entire life other than be a public servant. So he actually believes this stuff. Like, you know, we're going to print more money and inflation's going to slow down. Or we need to pass this bill so we can see what's in it. Because, of course, we can't read 3,000 pages before we pass it. We just have to pass it so we can see what's in it. And look what we ended up with. It's funny. You know, I had my liberal relatives here a few weeks ago, you know, and they were talking, you know, I won't even make it personal. Let's just say in general, like I have these people in my life who talk about, you know, healthcare and, you know, how expensive it is and how, you know, the certain things aren't covered. And I always kind of like to point out to them because they are those people. Like, I say, oh, well, like, what happened? I mean, didn't Obama's health care cover that? Oh, it didn't? Wow. I'm so surprised. I'm not at all. I knew from the beginning. Because I've been in public health service myself, I know what that system looks like. There's a bajillion people waiting for care, and there's not enough supply to provide it. You know, there's not enough money to cover every procedure for every single person, just like any other insurance company, so they just pick and choose, sort of. They prioritize who gets what kind of care and what kind of care is actually necessary versus what kind of care is optional. And guess what? You're not getting optional treatment. Anyway, so Biden, crazy. Says he's directed the National Economic Council to focus on reducing energy costs for the U.S. consumers following a Department of Labor report suggesting that inflation hit a three-decade high in October. You know, he shut down a pipeline in this country that provides, you know, not only gasoline and diesel, but heating fuel. And by shutting down your own supply of those natural resources, the price is going to go up. You know, China is sucking up coal like crazy right now because they're building like one coal-fired power plant a month, or at least they're starting to build one coal-fired power plant per month. They'll buy up all the coal because, you know, we're banning it. And you talk about, I mean, think about that for a minute. So you talk about the environment, you know, and being part of this environmental movement and everybody being on the same page. So China, as far as I know, has the highest number of people of any country in the world. So they're going to have the most effect on the environment. I don't have this right. But it seems to me if you have the most number of people in the world, well, you're going to need a lot of energy to keep those people warm or to keep those people cool or to grow food for those people or to, you know, keep your industry going. You're going to require a lot of energy. Well, if they're building coal-fired power plants, like starting one new coal-fired power plant a month, they're going to require a lot of fuel. And they're going to buy up that coal like crazy. And they're going to burn that coal in those coal-fired power plants. So let me ask you something. Do you think that China is going to have like some kind of filters on those stacks that they're burning the coal in to eliminate all that pollution? No, they're not. They don't care. I don't even think they're part of the whole climate agreement anyway. But we shut down a pipeline and can't understand why fuel prices are up, you know, why people are going to freeze to death this winter. And I mean, winter's upon us. Up in Wisconsin, they're going to get snow this week. Sure. You know, some parts of the north are going to get in snow. It's going to get cold, and people are going to have to heat. We're not going to have it here, you know, we're not going to have access to all that. Well, maybe we will this year, but it's going to be expensive. So number one, the supply is down. Number two, you know, we're having fewer and fewer workers. People are going to be quitting their jobs after the first of the year, right in the middle of winter. You know, these mandates supposedly are going to go into effect. And I mean, people are just not going to do it. They're just not going to participate in this fiasco anymore, and they're just going to call it quits and go home. Oh, I got to tell you guys one more thing. This is the funniest thing. Oh, maybe I talked about this last week. Did I talk about the No, I didn't. No. I'm going to talk about it now. So Portland, the great city of Portland, Oregon. Such retards running this city. I'm so glad I'm 60 miles away from there, which isn't far enough, but it's safe enough. So they decided that they are going to spend $38 million to help. Man, did I talk about this last week, you guys? It's sounding so familiar. Anyway, they're going to spend $38 million to solve the homeless crisis in Portland, Oregon. Oh, I know why it sounds familiar, because I recorded this on my digital recorder so I would remember it later. Okay, so this is what Portland's going to do. They've set aside $38 million to address the homeless issue in Portland. Now, the homeless issue in Portland is completely out of control. I mean, it is ridiculous. When you drive through Portland, even on the interstate, you see a ton of homeless camps and tents and people just like laying everywhere. And as soon as I heard this, I thought, well, I thought a couple things. Why are we giving $450,000 to immigrants that we turned away at the border? Why don't we just give these people $450,000? I mean, at least they're, you know, U.S. citizens, I'm sure some of them anyway. And since we're giving, you know, we're just going to give $500,000 away to whoever, I guess, you know, illegal immigrants who tried to get in this country, and we hurt their feelers, so we got to pay them $500,000 to make them feel better. Why don't we just do that for the homeless? In fact, why don't we just give $500,000 to every citizen in the United States? I mean, we're just giving away money anyway. And we all know that, you know, the new spending bill, it's not going to increase inflation. So why don't we just give everybody money? But back to my point. So, you know, this people in Portland decided they're going to set aside $38 million to address the homeless situation in Portland. And I was thinking to myself, that's fantastic. So they're going to set aside $38 million. They're going to create some kind of a committee, you know, with people from, you know, the social aspects, people from law enforcement, people from the homeless, people from, you know, the some of the charities that help the homeless people. And, you know, they're going to spend a ton of money on people that aren't homeless to talk. You know, they're going to form these committees, and these committees are going to get together, and they're going to bat around ideas about what they can do for the homeless people. And, you know, the money isn't going to go to the homeless people. It's probably not going to go to any part of the homeless people. It's not going to create jobs, which, I mean, right now there's an abundance of jobs, and why anybody isn't working, I guess we all know why. But in like 2 or 3 years, they're going to bring out somebody, you know, probably some, you know, young minority woman who had been in hard times and had been homeless, and they're going to show how she got a job and now she's living in a house and what a great success this $38 million was. And she'll basically be the only one who succeeded for $38 million, but it'll be an example of how great it was that they formed this committee and they solved the homeless crisis, and here's a great example. And it's funny now that, I guess it's funny that, to me anyway, that when I see those things, I immediately think of how much failure is coming in that system and what a joke it is to form these committees to solve a problem that you're not going to solve. A lot like the immigration problem. I mean, we have been battling that problem for decades at the very least. And we keep doing the same thing over and over again and never actually fixing the problem. Well, anyway, that was a quick 60 minutes. I hope you guys have an awesome week. I will be here next Saturday don't know what kind of information I'll have, but I'm going to take like 3 days of just like kicking it with my eye patched. Well, 2 days with my eye patched, and then we'll see what happens. But thanks for listening, and look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show here today with me, Dr. Mike the Redneck Dentist. I invite you to join us on RealLibertyMedia.com and RLMRadio.xyz. If you're interested in learning the truth, if you're interested in learning about liberty, and I mean true liberty, or if you want to have some fun, come on over to RealLibertyMedia.com and RLMRadio.xyz. Thanks. Bye.